Love you all so much. It's always good to be here. It's like coming home. It's like being at home. So I thank you. So I'm really hoping that I can bring a word of encouragement today for you all. I want to thank the pastors for inviting me here. Thank you, pastors John and Sarah and Evan and Kirsten. Thank you so much. And all the leadership that's here, the people that's been faithful to my good friend Rich Harris. He means a lot to me. He's like a real brother, you know, that I didn't get to grow up with. But we met and it's like we knew each other from eternity or something like that. And that's a rare connection. So I'm grateful. I don't take it lightly. I am praying for him, as I know you all are. You know, when you make a geographical move to another nation, it's different than going from here to California or something. So I'm getting his emails, and I'm praying for him, as I know that a lot of you are, too. And he really could still use those prayers. The way I understand it right now is he will be moving into his place pretty quick here. And then still looking for a place for ministry, I believe. Unless has he found a place to, okay. I don't always check my emails like I should. So, but I'm trying to keep up with him. So know that he has other people that are praying for him. And you know how he puts that little thing on there that says, by the way, if you don't want to still be my intercessor, let me know. You know, and then you feel like, well, if I didn't want to be, I wouldn't tell you. You know what I'm saying? Why would you do that? I think he does that for a reason. You know, he's got a little snippet. That's a little snippet in there, I think. Yeah. I've authored a few books, and Let Me In is a small little book that I brought today. I don't think I brought books here very much in the last couple of years. It came out last February. You can get it through Barnes & Noble, or Tate Publishing. But this book was written experiencing the supernatural power of God in the church. And it's a kind of a hard hitter saying, why isn't he in the church? Why isn't there room for me in the church? So it's little, but it's kind of mighty. And I brought about 9 of them out there, 9 or 10 of them out there. But it does talk about the prophetic. It talks about the future, the millennials coming in. Where are they? Where are the millennials' children? Where are they? Why aren't they coming? There's reasons for all of this, and you know what? It's up to us. So this topic will be becoming who you are. And I noticed in the worship this morning, oh, I want to introduce my team. Some of my team members came. Would you stand if you're part of Global Manifestations? So at the end, you know, when they come with a purpose. They don't come for nothing. So at the end, hopefully during this time, there'll be some prophetic ministry. But I noticed that in the songs, we call dry bones to come alive and dead hearts come alive, because that is what's going on with the church. It is. I mean, church is still fighting the prophetic, let alone if people can go to heaven or not. I mean, our spirit man never sleeps, so I don't have any questions about that. But whose spirit sleeps in here? I don't know a spirit that sleeps because it's a spirit. Anybody know a spirit? Okay. We're on the same boat right there. It also said dead hearts come alive, and hearts are dead because they're seeing nothing. I've lived this life, I've walked through it, and I'm still hearing nothing. I'm seeing nothing. Or people are talking about the kingdom, but they're not walking in it. Or they're talking about the demonstrations of God, but they're not doing it. So that causes dead hearts, besides issues in our own life. And then the come walk in his way, I believe that was a word that came forth this morning. And his way is doing it the way. Yes. Everything he did, he said we could do, and why aren't we doing it? So that's my opening. Becoming who you are. In 2 Chronicles 10, I was spending a couple of nights with Kathy. She's our shofar blower. Very excellent at it. Yeah, she is. That's God. God put that in her. I mean, Kathy took it really seriously. She went and, when God told her to start blowing the shofar, she went to a rabbi and he was taught her all the reasons why you blow it in the Hebrew and all those things like that. And she travels and teaches that at different places and about the Talid and what it's all about, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty interesting teaching. But I was at her home the last couple of nights, and she came to the bedroom door where I was standing, and she said, "I just finished reading 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And she started telling me about Rehoboam going to be made king. And when she finished the story, I said, "That's going to go with what I'm talking about Sunday." So she runs and gets her Bible and she reads me the whole story, which I won't do with you all. But we're going somewhere with this, trust me. So Rehoboam was going to be king, and Jeroboam had fled to another land, I believe Egypt, when Solomon was king. And what happened is when he came to be king, the younger group rebelled against him. And they did not want him to be king and do what his dad had done. And he said that his dad, Jeroboam said that he had a heavy weight on us, a heavy hand on us. You know, like somebody's thumb on you, mashing you down. And they said, "We don't want him to do that." So really, in the whole essence of that is they rebelled. And that's what we're doing in the church today. We're rebelling against our king. How are we rebelling against our king? We carry, at times, a spirit of murder in our hearts. And it's not like literally killing someone, but we want things to be the way we want things. That's rebellion. We say things to ourselves like, in other words, we curse ourselves by saying things like, "I'm too shy. I would never be able to get up and prophesy." That's a curse. "I'm too afraid. I never can do anything right. And I'm afraid of what the people are going to think about me and how they're going to see me if I'm wrong. I'm too busy. I'm looking at the past of all the failures I've had." I just added that because someone was talking about looking at the past a few minutes ago. "I'm looking at the past and I know I can't come up because every time I try to, something knocks me back down." Those are curses. "As a man thinketh in his heart,
so is he."
But we don't think about that when we're cursing ourselves. We don't think about that when we're saying that we can't do what God told us we can do. We don't think about that when Jesus said that everything that my Father has given to me, I now give to you, and that we're seated in heavenly places. We don't think about that when we're cursing ourselves. And we don't think about the seven spirits of God in Isaiah 11:2, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and counsel and might and all of that. We don't think about those things. Right then we're thinking about me. That's rebellion. Sounds hard, kind of harsh, like, "Well, no, I really, that's how I really feel." It's rebellion. I've said all these things. That's why I could write them down so easily. The pen just wrote. So rebellion against God because we insist we can't do what he has spoken that we can do. Did God accept Moses saying, "I'm a stutterer," basically is what he was saying, "and I can't get this massive job done for you, send someone else"? He didn't even come to that mourning service. A mourning, M-O-U-R-N. Moses was more like, he did it. He did it. What happened to, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," that he spoke to us twice, once in the Old Testament. People say, "Well, that was in the Old Testament. God knew they were going to say that." So then he slipped it into the New Testament. Because, you know, people say that. They say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." The Old Testament, we know, is a type and shadow of what we're walking in now. If you've really had just even the basic Bible lessons. I mean, people use that for tithing too, Pastor. I want you to know that it's not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. So I'm going to move from that into walking into what God wants us to walk into in the seven spirits of God. And I'm just going to focus on the spirit of wisdom. You know, these are spirits that are around the throne. Those spirits. Spirit of wisdom is koachma in the Strong's. In the Hebrew, it's in the number 2451 in the Strong's. And I'm going to read to you out of Psalms 111, verse 10. See, I eat and stuff when I'm reading the Bible, and food be all stuck between the pages and everything. Gosh, it's embarrassing. Put a hole in the Bible. So 111 verse 10 in Psalms says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or I'm going there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because of the foolishness of God is, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So those who are called to, as if whether you're Greek or Hebrew, it doesn't matter. That is what the scripture says. And we should be walking in that wisdom. Jesus Christ walked in the fullness of God. And he walked in the seven wisdoms, the seven spirits, which one of the key ones is wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom is different than our natural wisdom. Our natural wisdom says, yeah, I really can't move in those kind of gifts. I don't think I can do it. Spiritual wisdom says, yes, you can. Because I did it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And it goes on to read, verses through the second chapter, verse 5, it says, starting at verse 21 in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached and to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." Are you following me? "That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who because of us, wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and I'll be done with the scripture text. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So this text, I have a Bible that highlights, it's going to highlight verse 4 and 5 about my speech and my preaching were not persuasive words, but in the demonstration of power. And this is what it says. Demonstrate the gospel. If we don't demonstrate the gospel, we become hearers only. I'm sure that scripture popped up to everybody when I said that. Hearers only, that's all we do if we're not demonstrating. We're walking around full of a lot of knowledge, and so what? The text reveals an apostolic priority that leadership must contend for in an era when the intellect is often defied and the demonstration of the Spirit and of power either unsought or ridiculed. The word is derived from the term used to describe actions that exhibit or accredit, validate a claim, a truth, or a presence. So when you read the word of God, if you can't demonstrate it, you haven't validated anything because you haven't done anything but read to someone. Now that, I'm not making that sound small, because the word of God is the word of God. It is alive, active, as a two-edged sword. It's very powerful. But if that's all people get, I'm talking about back to the dead hearts. If that's all people are getting, we walk and we talk to people about the Lord. We have the knowledge of that power, and that cast is still on their arm, and we haven't even asked them, could we pray for them? We're afraid that if we ask them to pray for them, if they don't get healed, we're going to look bad. Get over yourself, because that's nothing but flesh. Now, I'm talking to a church that gets really good word and move in power, but you got to take it to the streets. I remember when Rich Harris was telling me at some time point, you all were taking it to the streets. You can take it to the streets for a month and get discouraged. It might take 6 months, 8 months, or a year. The point is you have everything you have need of on the inside of you already. It's already there. It's waiting to be gushing out right now. There's nobody in here in Bible study 1A class. Everybody mostly in here have gone to a whole nother gamut in the dimension, in the spiritual realm. We don't even pray for our family members that need healing. Now, maybe that's not us, maybe in here, but we need to demonstrate it to other people so they'll know that the demonstration is sure, the demonstration is true, and the demonstration is just, and the glory of God will be released. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. It is wisdom to demonstrate the gospel. The spirit of wisdom, this is what it imparts: creative insight of God and strategic mind of God. This Spirit of God is the genesis of accurate and timely strategy. The major operative principle is this: knowing of the Spirit of wisdom is knowing how to apply truth in the right way at the right time for the right reason. It is the knowledge of the things of God in practical strategic application. I mean, when I got here this morning, it was so quiet. There was prayer in here. So I was like tipping into the bookstore. I'd always go in there and buy something. Y'all have a lot of somethings in there. So even during prayer time, people can get healed. Those that need healing, I challenge you to come to the prayer service before church. God will get you. You don't have to wait to 10 o'clock. If they're praying at 9 o'clock, come at 9. Whatever time they're praying, come. So the bottom line is, when are we going to stand up and do what God has told us to do? That's the bottom line. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, which everybody in here knows those scriptures. So I'm going to read verse 1 through 6. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may... Let's say that again. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may...
Prophesy.
That's right, that you may prophesy. This is what desire means in the Greek. To be zealous for, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intensely. And there's a lot of scripture references to back that up in Acts, James, Corinthians. And this is what Jack Hayford wrote. Now, I know maybe the millennials in here might not know who he is. He's still living, but he is like one of the most cracking pastors I've ever been around. He knows the word from the depth like a biblical theologian, and his church in California has moved in all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles, prophetic, etc. This is what he wrote according to that scripture. He said, the propriety and desirability of prophecy. The life of the New Testament church is intended to be blessed by the presence of the gift of prophecy. He's talking about the gift right now, not the office of the prophet or the anointing. As Paul states here, is noting love as our primary pursuit. Prophecy is to be welcomed for the edification and exhortation and comfort of the congregation, corporately and individually. Such encouragement of each other is prophecy. Now listen to what he says. Not words in the sense of the Bible, which uses the very words of God, but in the sense of human words, the Holy Spirit uniquely brings to mind. Doesn't that make it easier?
Yes.
Now, I've been in the presence of people that only prophesy over you scripture, and boy, they're hitting you right where you're living at the moment. That's not me, but I've been in the presence of prophets that do that, and it is powerful. The practice of the gift of prophecy is one purpose of Holy Spirit fullness. Talks about Acts 2:17. It also fulfills Joel's prophecy, Joel's 2:28, and Moses earlier expressed hope in Numbers 11:29. The operation of the gift of prophecy is encouraged by Peter, 1 Peter 4:11, and Paul says that it is within the potential of every believer. Say, look at somebody and say, that's your potential. It is intended as a means of broad participation among the congregation, mutually benefiting each other with anointed, loving words of upbuilding, insight, and affirmation. Such prophecy may provide such insight that hearts are humbled in worship of God, suddenly made aware of His Spirit, knowledge of their need and readiness to answer. That's our God. Look at somebody and say, that sure is loving. So the primary here today is to know that God came in human form for so many reasons. Today I'm here to tell you one of the reasons was so that you would arise in power. The earth is groaning and crying out for the manifestations of the sons of God. And the earth wouldn't be crying out and groaning for the manifestations if we were working through the manifestations like we're supposed to be working through the manifestations. The earth would be joining us. For we are the earth. We were raised up out of the earth and formed that we would take dominion over it. And yet we still are walking very timidly in the earth. Very timidly. If I walked into the room, or you, and there are ambassadors and presidents of nations, if they don't know Jesus Christ, I'm the greatest thing they have right now.
Yeah.
You have to see yourself like that. It's true.
Yeah.
If Christ be in you, it's true. In John, he said, I'm in the Father, the Father is in me, and I'm in you. What power?
Yeah.
He called himself the Son of Man. Himself, he called it. I know because it's in red. That always gives me a clue. God in human form, Jesus was the ultimate communication from God to man. He was heaven's thoughts, heaven's words, heaven's principles, plans, pattern of living, for living. He was everything. And he walked in the spirit of wisdom. All the seven spirits, but I'm just doing wisdom this morning. Jesus fully expressed and visually and verbally everything of God. And you know what? It's easy for us to do it. We just have all those thoughts, those killers in the back of our mind that I named earlier. That's just for that minister or that intercessor who is really deep in the Lord every morning. Or no, what about me? It's all about you. If you be in him, it is about you. It's about you he wants to succeed. And see, hearts are dead. There are dry bones in the church, Pastor. There are dry bones. You don't know it like you know it till you become a pastor. And sometimes the most verbal people have dry bones. And their hearts are dead. And they're just because they have that presence that makes you feel like they got it together and they don't have it together at all. Because the inside, they're dying. Yeah. Old Testament prophets had prophesied in part, but Jesus was more than a prophet because he understood fully fully expressed the whole counsel of God. You have that whole counsel inside of you. The whole counsel of God is on the inside of us. As a prophet, he understood the plan of God, expressed the purposes of God. I have a lot of scriptures to back all that up, but I won't read them. He revealed the thoughts and mind of God and the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, released communication between God and his people, and a new relationship between God and his people. What you spoke this morning, interpreted, was right on of what God is trying to tell us something. Now, you know, one of the things about a prophetic ministry that I've learned is that you can get very passive about it. Oh, it's just what happens here. When you do that, the ministry's going to die. I'm telling you. That's a prophetic warning. You should always be excited when a word comes from God. When somebody gets healed, I don't care if it's their pinky finger, you should get so excited. Everybody should be just hollering and acting like they never seen a healing before. Because that's being passive for what God is doing. Clap, applaud, do whatever, act a fool, because that person did heal them because God put the power of himself on it and used that person, yes. But you're really applauding God? The person that ministered you was the conduit, they know you're applauding God. Because they should be walking in humility themselves and should know that this is for the Lord, and they're applauding God. So Jesus was the prototype of a new race. I'm going to tell y'all a little hint. I'm reading this from Bishop Bill Hammond, one of his books called Prophets and Personal Prophecy. I copied it yesterday. But I have permission to teach his thing, so I could do it. But this is from someone who has ministry of the prophetic on all seven continents and has been known previously, at least, as the father of prophecy, because he was one of the first one to release manuals to train people to prophesy back in the late 70s or 80s. It hadn't been done yet. He says here, the prototype of a new race. Jesus was the beginning of a whole new race. God created beings. He was the prototype of a whole new creation in Christ. He was the prototype, the firstborn of many brethren. He is always before all things. The human body of Jesus contained the fullness of the Godhead and is still filled with the fullness of God. And there's like 25 scriptures that could take you to that. But see, as I'm talking to you, you're supposed to be seeing yourself that way. I'm talking about Jesus, but he was the prototype for you. For me, for us. Then Bishop Bill Hammond talked about the Bible, God in written form. God in written form. The Bible is the guidelines by which we know and understand God. The scripture is sufficient to give us knowledge of all we need to be in our time or mortality and into eternity. Anybody here don't know you're eternal? Anybody here don't know that? Okay. So you've had good meat. You're eternal. The Bible is from inspired utterances grouped into 66 books and canonized into the Bible. We know some books were taken out. Most of us by now know what those books were and have hunted some of those books down and read them. You're laughing. I was trailing you and you were running after them, wasn't I? The Bible is the foundation of all truth. The Bible is inscripturated prophecy. The Bible is the mind of God in written form. The Holy Spirit is the mind of God quickened form. Prophecy is the mind of God in verbal form. The prophet, God's spokesman. God desires to walk and talk with us as individuals, yet not all Christians know how to recognize the voice of God. Sometimes I'm like that. God's talking to me. That's why I could write down I'm too busy on that sheet. I'm just flitting along. He's saying something. I'm thinking, I know that's not God. So I just keep on doing what I'm doing until later on it comes true. Then you go and fall on your face and be repentant and try to be more sensitive the next time. Till you get too busy. We're never supposed to be too busy for God. If that's the case, I mean, I think none of us are as busy as Jesus was, but he came. He came. Say that. He came. And he probably was the most busiest of all. I don't have to walk from here back to my house in sandals. Can't get much busier than that. The ideal means of communication from God to man is directly from God to each individual, as discussed earlier. God has made a provision because the ideal has not been realized yet. God's communication to us may be through the word of God as it applies to every man, or it may be a specific verse that the Holy Spirit quickens to a specific person for a specific reason at a specific time. So you can't narrow prophecy down to any particular one way. It can be so many different ways. Some people are called to prophesy one-on-one. They're never really supposed to get up or don't feel like they get up and give a whole congregation a word. But when they meet that person or having a discussion with them, and wow, the Lord starts flowing. That isn't small, because you're turning that person's life around on the inside of them. It's a big deal. The people that led me to the Lord on my job in 1977 or something like that, 76, on my job, they took me into the surgeon's office at the hospital and led me to the Lord. And I didn't know it was the Romans Road, because I didn't know anything about, I just knew there was a God. I didn't know anything about Jesus. And I didn't want to hear any Christian music. Don't play that stuff. I like Barry White. And I did. He had the love songs. I said, what's wrong with that? God's love. He's a lover. You know, just ignorant. Don't know. And They have no idea what I do today, that I've been to over 12 nations preaching the gospel and doing things and writing curriculum for God for ministry of the prophetic and training and equipping people and moving in some signs and wonders and miracles of healing. They have no idea. But what I'm saying is, we were on the job and they weren't too busy to pray me in. They weren't too busy on the job to pray me in. It was three of them. They ganged me. So God's communication to us may be through the word of God as it applies to every man, and so on and so forth. Now, knowing that there's nothing I spoke here that you haven't heard, what I would like you to do is think about why you're where you're at right now. Some of you aren't even from this ministry. So if you're not from this ministry, but you like what this ministry does, why are you at the ministry today, but you're still at another ministry somewhere else? I have talked to people that want a prophetic counsel. You know what that means, right? They want a word. But they're from another church. And I have actually been chided by pastors calling me saying, riddling me because I dealt with their person. So I don't do that anymore. You're at that church. You give your tithe to that church. You serve that church. That church should be meeting your needs. I can come in and say those things, can't I? Okay, I'm serious, because I've been in this a long time and I've seen a lot. People like to glean from all over and they think they're growing. You're not growing if you're gleaning from all over. There's no scripture that's going to ever verify that. You bloom where you're planted. Every plant blooms where they're planted. They keep taking out of a pot, putting in another pot, and another pot. Eventually that plant wilts and dies. Fact. You can't change it. It's history of vegetation that God also created us to be like. We are supposed to be supping from the wells of where God placed us. I know for a fact that this is a very dynamic prophetic church. I love the worship. And God is looking for a people that's going to do what he's called them to do. That's factual. He's given us everything. We have it all. Sometimes I don't feel like I have anything, but I still know I have it all. I have it all. That might sound real haughty, but I have it all. I have everything I need. I have what I need to bring me up if I'm down that day. David stripped himself and went into the chambers and he encouraged himself. He didn't call everybody. Hey, priest. The one with the sword that I killed Goliath with. Yeah, you. Can you come over? I better start reading. I don't even have to read the word. I better start running the scriptures off I already know. Seriously. And then we get in that place. Now, I'm not saying something don't hit our lives that really we need some help. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, we bounce up and down in our emotions and feelings. We're bouncers. We bounce from church to church. We bounce in our emotions. We bounce in our friendships. We just bouncers. Some people, they're in three different jobs in 1 year, four or five. I'm painting a picture here. Let's grow up. How about that? Amen. I have four children and I didn't even want them to grow up. Because I was a stay-at-home mom and I loved it. And I was like, oh, I can't wait till summer because I'd have all these things planned. And then school started back too soon. I was just one of those people. But one day they all grew up. And now I'm watching them if they're doing anything like I had, you know, taught them. Or their dad taught them. And God's saying, grow up. I want you to do things I've taught you. I don't want you to be rebellious toward me. I'm your king. I'm your father. I'm your dad. I want you to do what I've taught you to do. I want you to do how you've been trained. I want you to use the encouragement I've given you. I want you to do. People say, well, God isn't all about doing. Everything you see is about God doing. There isn't a tree out there without God saying it could come forth. Everything. I hope they say don't let her come back. Because she beat us up. Do y'all feel beat up? Oh, good. Okay, good. I didn't want to come in like that. Oh, my God. Could you put on something serene for me? Instrumental, if you have it. I mean, I felt like God wanted you to be encouraged that you have it all, folks. You got it. You got the goods. You got the glue. You got the put it together. You got the everything. I mean, there isn't even a lot of churches that do prophetic art. There are some, but it's not very many. And, you know, I've went and trained in the prophetic at churches. And I go back to those churches. There are no teams built. And I'm talking about spending like 5 days with them, 10-hour days. That's a lot of work. No teams are built. They have conferences. Nobody gets prophesied over unless a speaker from the pulpit actually calls somebody out once every great while. So they just go and get fed. I see it. I'm in those conferences speaking. I'm like, what is that about? People paid $150 to come to this conference. There's no lunch that goes with it. And you don't get a book. You get fed. And do what? Really? Hearers only. We have created hearers only. I mean, the word of God is alive and active. And it's a word that can be demonstrated. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, you can get a new believer, and that new believer, they caught it. And you can't hold on to them now. They're bringing people in to the church. They're on fire. And after they see you setting year after year, it douses their fire. So what are we going to do? Today is a day of choices. Because you know, when you're here, then you have to do something. When you hear the word. So it doesn't mean everybody get up and do something today, but you have to change your life if it needs changing. God wants change in my life for me, for whose lives I'm going to touch, and for me to be wholesome. And he wants that for everybody that's here. There isn't one small person in this room. Nobody is a dot and a tittle. Everybody's big in God's sight. He wants everybody doing the stuff he said they could do, the stuff he already demonstrated they could do. Those on my team that would like to minister, because it's not mandated today, I would love for you to come up. Kathy? See, one thing about this ministry and the ministry that has been raised up here is we do believe in giving people opportunity, because practicing really does help. One thing I've noticed about the prophetic anointing and the healing anointing, if you don't use it very much, it diminishes in your life because you don't have the confidence to do it because you don't do it very often. So then you question yourself, and that questioning is really more like a curse. And you've done it so much that now you don't even try to help out in that ministry because you're pretty sure you're not where those other people are because they've been coming up doing it. Does this make sense? I mean, when I was in kindergarten, I had to learn how to do some things before they put me in first grade. And when I was in 12th grade, I had to prepare if I was going to go to college. And I didn't go right away. My associate's was in practical ministry, my associate's degree. Just practical ministry. Apostle Dutch Sheets was a teacher in that university that did that school, so I went. And I, after I got that associate's, I was encouraged, so I just kept going. There are ministries out there that let you practice. Anybody here don't want to be practiced on? I don't know if you know the week of August 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, that Todd White and Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, and they'll be here. I had put that on my calendar 5 months ago, and now I won't be here because I'll be doing a ministry assignment in another state, but I really want to turn that ministry assignment down. Because we all should be eager to keep growing. And I've been to see them before, and they are very dynamic. But don't go. If you're not going to use what they teach you, don't go. Why bother? Because what they did when I went to their conference in Loveland is they called people up and told people, I want you to give a word of knowledge. And I went up. But don't go if you're not going to do it. Don't spend your $150 or whatever it costs. Why bother? You can give it to me. I'll teach you how to prophesy today. Seriously, you know, they're coming and they're dynamic, they're awesome, they're a school, but why bother? I'm not going to use it anyway. See what I'm saying? People go for that knowledge and they love it. And then they're radical about it. And then they go home and set on it. And they set on it in their churches. Or they're in a ministry that don't even allow it anyway. So don't go. Just don't go. I'm trying to save you money. That's a good thing. So what we're going to do is we're just going to do some call outs. I'm not saying everyone's going to receive a word from the Lord, but we are going to do some call outs to minister to some of you. I'd like to start with the pastors, if you would just stand. The Spirit of the Lord says He does have you tapped for nations. You probably heard this word before, but the nations are upon you. And there's going to be great surprises in the nations. And the Lord says you've taken some hits in moving into the position that you've moved into. That everyone, the leaders here know that it's not all glory and glamour and wonderful. But you've taken unexpected hits as well. But the Lord says it's time for you to begin to shuffle and prepare. To have the passports in order and have the things ready. Because you are going to go. And when you go, you're going to be ones that will teach what I've taught you to teach, says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord says you're like a well. You're like a well deep down on the inside. When I was a little girl, I could look down in the well, down in the country in Mississippi, but I couldn't see the water because it was so deep down in the ground. But when I took the bucket down there and we rolled it up, it was me and my cousin because it was too heavy for little girls. And when we rolled it up, it was full of clear water. And the Lord says you're going to bring them clear, purified water from me. It's going to be fresh with anointings that you only have sort of ministered in here in America. It's going to explode there. He's going to bring you around people that you've heard of, you know, you've seen on God TV and places like that. And they're going to be helpers of your increase in the anointing that God has given you. So, Lord, I just lay my hands upon them. And I call forth an exponential amount of your prophetic anointing to rise up in them like never before. And daughter, the Lord says you're not small. You are valuable. You're strong in my heart, says the Spirit of the Lord. Say, I know the insufficiencies that you feel you have and the feeling insignificant, the Lord says. But the Lord says, don't do that. Because I'm setting you up. You're going to go much farther than this, says the Lord. And you have an administration about you, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I have need of, that I'm going to use, even in the travel, where you set things in place and in order so they will go in the way I would have them, says the Lord. So know this, that it is upon you. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding upon them, Lord, like never before. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. And man of God, the Lord says, I won't speak the questions, but I hear the questions on the inside of you that you have. And the Lord says, yes, you are ready. No, you're not to do it. You're not. So, Father, those that have been faithful, I thank you that you're going to give them more. Plenty. In Jesus' name. So be it. Not let this word fall to the ground and die, but that it shall rise and produce that fruit which you have for them. While I'm doing this, you all can call out anyone you want. And when you do, they just come up to you and you minister to them. Don't take any more than 2 minutes over any one person, please. Oh, you come on. Come on with it.
Okay. If you want your word in order, bring your phone.
Do I need to do this?
Oh, done.
Okay. Okay. All right. Before Apostle started speaking with you and calling you out, what the Lord was showing me was a whirlwind. And what this is doing is, you think you've been dreaming, you haven't been dreaming like this. The Lord is going to instill in you everything that you need. You're going to be, have you heard of ascensions? You are going to be ascending up to heaven. And you're going to be, there's a lot of things that He's going to be teaching you, instilling in you, imparting into you because of what you've been called out to do. Because you will be going to nations. And you will be feeling like Apostle was saying, you know, you're inadequate or whatever. No, you're not, because this is what God is going to be doing for you. And you will know instantly what it is that you're going to be doing because of His indwelling in you.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. And would you speak directly into their phones, you all, so that, because I must speak on the mic. Evan, right? And Kristen. Kirsten. Okay. Thank you, Father. The Spirit of the Lord says you've already superseded that which you would have known that you would have ever done even 3 years ago, says the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord says, know this, it's only that much compared to what I have for you. That much. Of course, you know that you will be going to the nations. There are nations calling you. They're crying out for what you have. There will be great teachings in hearing the voice of God. There will be leadings in how to go and see Him and the things and the activities that He has for that region where He sends you. You're going to have extremely strategic assignments. The miracles are going to be phenomenal. The Lord says, keep everything in order because things are going to come quickly for you. Keep it in order. Don't. Every day expect something. Every day do expect something new and fresh. Even if you have to sit on your bed at night and discuss what was the smallest thing you thought could it have been God. Because He's going to be working some things in you. Children is going to be a part of the ministry that you do. Do you have children? Children are going to be a part, but you're going to minister to children. You're going to have minister to children where they're going to be weeping and crying. They're going to know how to intercede before the throne. They're going to become your intercessors to intercede in a powerful way as you move in a dimension that you've never moved in before. They're going to demonstrate amongst the crowd things that you have taught them. They're going to be able to prophesy accurate words. They're going to be able to prophesy words of knowledge that's going to blow people's minds. But you all are going to be the trainers. And they're going to move in miracles. The children are going to do it because you all are going to be the trainers. The Word of God says, be doers, and you all are doers. The two of you are doers. There's a river of living water flowing, but there are also waterfalls that are powerful. They're like mega, and it's so many of them in one spot that you can't see at the bottom because the water is bursting up so much it looks like a cloud. That's what He's placing on the inside of you. It's beyond a river. So, Father, I just call forth even another exponential amount of the prophetic in them in a greater measure. The dreams and visions become more prevalent, interpretation more prevalent of those. Even the children are going to ascend, and they're going to come and tell you things at places that you haven't been yet. The Lord has need of you. Take it seriously. Here is first steps. But it's going to come sooner than you think. And it's going to be bigger than you think. Bigger than you know. Father, I seal these words over them. I decree that it will not fall to the ground and die, but they will produce the fruit in which was spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. So precious. You're welcome. Call anybody out?